From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Tara Hill Spinall.
Dolores at Market Street.
Daily City.
Outer Sunset.
Castro and Church.
Edge of the Mission.
The Yorktown. Antioch.
Nopa, San Francisco.
When the NUMMI auto plant in Fremont closed 5 years ago, thousands of people lost their jobs.
Some people couldn't even use a computer. They didn't have to. But man, they could put those doors on straight.
People like Mario Mendez had decades of experience, but it wasn't easy to get work.
I used every penny of the unemployment, and I was running everything out, and I was going, oh, what am I going to do, you know?
A new car company moved in, but it was different.
They're the largest robots in the world. So they all have names based on Marvel comic characters. So Wolverine, Iceman.
How people find their way in a new world. Today on Cross Currents. Stay with us. The lunch line at the Golden Corral Buffet in Tracy snaked out the door when KALW's Angela Johnston stopped by on April 1st. It was full of people who hadn't seen each other in over 5 years.
Hi, stranger.
Here's Angela.
This was a big reunion for people who worked together at the new United Motors manufacturing plant in Fremont. But nobody called it that. It was NUMMI for short. For 25 years, the NUMMI factory made cars. Every minute, a car would come off the line. Good, old-fashioned American cars like Chevy Novas and Pontiac Vibes. But the people who were at the Golden Corral, they also built Japanese cars, like Toyota Corollas and Toyota Tacoma trucks.
Here's a news report from the 80s. You'll hear a Chevy ad first.
When your standards are higher than you think you can afford, put yourself in today's Chevy Nova and listen to your heartbeat.
The heartbeat of America. That's today's Chevrolet.
This heartbeat of America is a transplant from Japan.
Those transplants came from a big partnership, a joint venture between two giant auto companies, Toyota and General Motors, something totally unheard of before. NUMMI took over an old GM factory that was notoriously bad. It closed, but when it reopened, Toyota turned it around practically overnight. Close to 5,000 people from all around the Bay Area worked at the revamped plant.
I worked in general stores as a forklift driver for 25 and a half years.
Inspection.
Paint department and finished paint.
I worked in production control, and we delivered parts to the line.
Spot welding. Welding cars like with five different guns.
But even this innovative partnership didn't last forever. In 2009, GM declared bankruptcy. Toyota didn't want to keep running the plant, so the factory closed. This is the story of what the workers did afterwards, how they picked up the pieces, and where they are now, starting with this reunion at the Golden Corral Buffet. Reporter Angela Johnston takes it from here.
The five-year NUMMI reunion feels like a big family reunion. Old friends catch up while waiting in line for their food. They tell jokes as they shovel tater tots and fried chicken onto their plates. Some have retired. Others have taken up new jobs, new hobbies, like David Batello.
I'm a fisherman and a songwriter and music. I just released my own CD. That's something I've been wanting to do, couldn't do while I was working all those hours.
People are dressed in old NUMMI sweatshirts and ball caps.
Some of us have lost weight. Some of us have gained weight. Other than that, some of us have gotten older in 5 years. Some look the same.
That's Betty Saul. I ran into her at the chocolate fondue fountain, talking to another woman she hadn't seen in years. Across the room, Tony Camillo says he keeps up with people.
I myself have either lunch or breakfast with a NUMMI employee probably no more than every 2 weeks.
There's one big absence today, too. Sarah Rogers was a tour guide at NUMMI. She gave tours of the plant to people 5 days a week for 11 years. She couldn't make the reunion, but people were asking for her, and she would have recognized them too. I met her at her house in San Leandro. Talking about her friends at NUMMI still makes her smile. These people are still family to her.
It wasn't just, I'm a tour guide, you know, here's a tire, here's an engine. It was more about here's a tire and here's Bob working with a tire, or here's an engine, here's Jason working with an engine.
On her tour, she started by telling people Numi's key values.
Kaizen, Kanban, Jidoka, Muda, Genchi Genbutsu.
Quality of the workstation, suggestion programs, learning by doing. These principles came from Toyota after they reopened the GM plant, and they defined the culture at Numi. Then she'd drive around the plant. You'd watch big weights clamp down on sheets of metal to cut out pieces of cars. She'd take you past a section called body and weld, where these cookie-cutter car pieces were welded together. As you traveled along the mile-and-a-half-long line, you'd hear bells, whistles, music that played when people pulled cords for help. She'd point out the car doors hanging on rails from the ceiling, show you how the seats and carpet were put inside.
And I would tell them stories along the way about some of the people. We would sing happy birthday to people on the line because those were the folks that I worked for. You know, I worked for those folks. They made the tour.
When production slowed in 1988 and again in 2008, Roger says Numi never laid anyone off. It was their policy. They scaled production down from two shifts a day to one. The other shift took classes.
They would learn more about personal protective equipment, sexual harassment. They would take every class. I got to teach the history of Toyota. I could not have come up with anything to teach people more about what we meant, that no one got laid off until the plant closed and the dream ended.
GM announced plans to pull out of the plant a few weeks ago, and last Friday, Toyota announced they might close it.
On April 1st, 2010, the last car rolled off the line, a red Toyota Corolla. You might have thought people would be sad, but it was more complex than that. In this video, people laugh, cheer, and clap as workers screw on parts for the final time.
And I remember I just started bawling right then and there, because that was my life. You know, I wanted to be the oldest living tour guide. I was going to be there until I was 90. I didn't want to retire. I'd stay there forever. I loved my job.
The emotional side was just one part of it. Workers were worried. Reporter Rachel Dornhelm was there right before the Fremont plant closed and talked to dozens of people. Here's Ezekiel Martinez, who worked for a Numi subcontractor.
A lot of businesses are going to feel it. It's going to be like a ripple effect, you know? It's affecting us, and we don't, you know, we work alongside Numi, you know, but we don't work for Numi, and it's affecting our work. You know, we can't load up the cars if they're not going to make cars.
Sarah Rogers was there the day the plant closed.
I remember seeing people leaving, and I thought, there's families in here. There's multi-generations here. There's dads and sons and daughters and, you know, three generations walking out the door, and this has been their livelihood forever. What are they going to do?
Listening to Cross Currents from KALW News, I'm Hannah Baba. Today we're talking about the old Numi Auto Factory in Fremont. When the factory closed 5 years ago, close to 5,000 people lost their jobs. An estimated 20,000 others were also out of work. People who worked for Numi indirectly, making things like cup holders and windshield wipers. This was in the middle of the recession, so finding work wasn't easy. Let's rejoin reporter Angela Johnston.
Sarah Rogers says one of her best Numi memories was a funny little joke she and the Numi team members would play on the tour guests. It went something like this. Rogers would have about a dozen or so people on her tram, and she'd be pointing out these giant, high-tech, frame-building robots.
There's sparks flying, and kids are getting excited. I go, well, ladies and gentlemen, I have a treat for you today.
You're the first ones and probably the only ones to see this. We don't have our special robots out on the line because, you know, they're under wraps. You're not supposed to see these. So, ladies and gentlemen, please look to your left at NUMMI's newest robot.
Two of the workers, Willie Brown and Mario Perez, would stop whatever they were doing on the line and start dancing the robot.
Oh, my gosh. And it was just so fun to have people react to them and that was what I wanted people to do, to see these are human beings. These are not robots. These are real people, and they live in your neighborhood.
When the plant closed, Rogers was devastated, but she knew she'd be okay.
I'm single. I have a dog. I knew that I didn't need much money. I'd already paid off all my bills. I had thought ahead about this.
Still, she couldn't stop thinking about Willie and Mario and the others.
Some people couldn't even use a computer. They didn't have to. But man, they could put those doors on straight. You know, gosh, their paint jobs were excellent. Wow, the doors were, like, shaped perfectly.
And at NUMMI, they were rewarded for their hard work. They got great benefits. They never had to worry about doctor's fees, job interviews, making resumes. After the factory closed, these people had to deal with all these real human problems. And Rogers was tasked with helping them.
I was just somebody to sit here and try and get people through, you know, some places that they'd never been before.
She and a few other workers were hired as peer counselors by the Alameda County Workforce Investment Board. The county banded together with 8 other regions to open rapid response unemployment centers around the Bay Area. These were places where people could sift through job postings, find out where to learn new skills, apply for healthcare programs, talk with counselors. Rogers says, though, that the important work happened outside the center.
We were like 24/7. Because when do you get most down? About 9 o'clock at night, laying in bed, things are rolling around your head. Oh my gosh, how am I going to make that bill? What am I going to do? Nobody can buy my house. It's underwater. So we were 24/7. We would get calls in the middle of the night. And that's what broke my heart. It's like, that's when real people would come out.
She got calls about overdue mortgages. One man needed a liver transplant and no longer had health insurance. She had to convince people not to spend their $50,000 retention packages overnight. People got those so they wouldn't quit before the factory closed. She'd call pharmacies all over the Bay Area, trying to find the best deals on medications. She'd help people pay their bills.
You'd see families fighting. And so families would get divorced. They thought they could only live and breathe and eat and walk and talk with that income at that place with those people. And then you leave. And there were some suicides. What do you do with that information?
She tried her best. These unemployment programs lasted almost 3 years. 5,381 people enrolled in the Alameda County one. Mario Mendez was one of the first people she saw.
Worked there for 19 years at NUMMI before they closed. I started in the body shop, worked night shift, and then went to the line, and then finally moved to conveyance where you deliver all the parts to the line. That's where my dad used to work.
And his brothers.
Both brothers worked there. I had an uncle that used to work there.
And his daughter.
Cousins, I forgot. The one cousin was even a manager there.
When the plant closed, the very first thing he did was take a little vacation.
I never really took 2 weeks off and, you know, drove cross country. So seen Mount Rushmore and all kinds of things, you know, on the way there.
When he came back, it was go time. Mendez started taking classes to get some new skills. Like a lot of other NUMMI workers, he got $10,000 from the state for new training.
Learn how to do the computer stuff. Learn how to look up jobs. And all these, I got all these websites like crazy, and I was looking for, you know, trying to find something special, something at least had the same pay. But there's not that many that had that pay.
And then he started applying for jobs.
I started dropping off all my resumes, and I went all the way to the Oak Ridge Mall where Sears is, and I went, huh, Sears Automotive. What the hell? I'll drop it off there. I dropped it off there. I went to Target. I go, you know, I work in Target. I don't care. I dropped off resume. I went everywhere in that one day, and I go, okay, I'm going to just keep going further out, further out. And I started going all different directions. Every day I kept starting going further. And I go, you know what? First place it calls, I'm going. I don't care who it is. I'm just going to do it.
A year passed and no one was biting. He was 54 and couldn't retire yet. For Mendez and his family of four, time was running out.
I used every penny of the unemployment for the first time in my life ever used unemployment. And I was running everything out. We were in the medical COBRA program and that was starting to run out. And I was going, oh, what am I going to do, you know?
One of the reasons he had such a hard time is that it wasn't just NUMMI that was affected. It was all the other businesses. See, the thing is that all around him, this infrastructure had collapsed. Right after NUMMI's closure, there were no other large auto manufacturing plants in the Bay Area. The factories that supported NUMMI, they were gone too.
That was their only account. So when NUMMI shut down, they ended up closing their doors.
That's Bill Brown. He works at a consulting firm called Manex. When NUMMI closed, Brown and his team surveyed 38 businesses and factories in Alameda County to see if they could survive. Most of them worked exclusively for NUMMI. They looked at companies that made
seats or door panels, instrument panels, engines.
They visited each one and checked things off a list.
How are they going to reposition themselves from being a seat manufacturer to something else?
Out of those 38 companies, only four are operating today. Take, for example, Kennerly Spratling, KS Plastics for short. They call themselves an injection molding assembly house. Basically, they make plastic things, and they made plastic car parts for NUMMI.
The most identifiable ones would be like a cup holder and an elbow rest.
Kevin Ahern is the VP of sales. He won't tell me the exact numbers, but he says in the early 2000s, KS Plastics was shipping 7 or 8 truckloads of equipment to NUMMI every single day. Once they knew what was happening with NUMMI, they needed to make some changes.
You do two things. You take your existing customer base and you see what else you can be doing for them. And then number two, you look outside, right? You go find new customers.
They did both. They started making some car parts for plants in the Midwest, and then the company started new contracts. I put on a pair of safety goggles, and Ahern takes me into the factory to show me what they're making now. We walk past huge molds that are getting filled with hot plastic, 700-ton machine. Robots are moving these pieces of plastic up and down. Forklifts are whizzing around. When NUMMI closed, Ahern said it got really quiet in here. You could hear a pin drop. Now it's humming. They're molding plastics for pools and hot tubs, biotech equipment, medical devices, and toys. As we're leaving the factory, we walk past a bin filled with pink plastic toy cars. They're not exactly Toyota Corollas, but a nice nod to the past. KS Plastics is doing well. They've actually expanded in the 5 years since NUMMI's closure, opened another factory nearby. And Ahern tells me they've managed to bring back some of the people they laid off.
75% of the folks that were displaced were brought back, and we could have brought back more of those.
Even with the rehiring, though, there were still people left behind. NUMMI closed during the recession. Just over a year later, the Fremont solar panel factory, Solyndra, unexpectedly filed for bankruptcy and laid off thousands of workers, some of whom had just come from NUMMI. After 3 years and $13 million of funding from the county, only about half of the 5,300 or so people in the unemployment program had new jobs. This is the environment Mario Mendez found himself in almost 2 years after he lost his job at NUMMI.
The last couple of weeks before unemployment ran out, I got desperate.
Finally, he got a call back from a Sears automotive shop.
So I've been there for 3 years now.
Work on cars.
It's okay. It's not the same, you know. And you get greasy and dirty, and it's not like, you know, NUMMI.
Mendez works 6 days a week for a lot less pay. And he only gets 2 days of vacation a year. But it's work. In fact, he works on some of the cars he made.
You know, I'm doing like oil changes on them too and stuff, and axles, replacing axles. And I was thinking, like, some of the cars that we built, a lot of those cars, they got like 200,000 miles on them. They got a lot of miles because the cars last forever. So it's funny. I just keep working on the same cars that I built or helped build.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. Today, we're talking about the closure of one of the Bay Area's only auto manufacturing plants. Since the NUMMI factory closed 5 years ago, close to 25,000 people have had to find new work. But at the same time, it wasn't the end of car making in the Bay Area. In this last part of our show, reporter Angela Johnston takes us to Tesla.
Before Mario Mendez found that auto shop job at Sears, he actually dropped his resume off at the building where he used to work. NUMMI wasn't there anymore, of course, but there were still cars being made inside. Electric cars. Only a few months after NUMMI had shut down, Tesla Motors snatched up the space. The 5.5 million square foot building was valued at $1.3 billion, but because it was 2008 and there was a huge recession, Tesla bought it for just $42 million. When the rest of the auto industry was going bankrupt, Tesla began to thrive. And it gave former NUMMI workers like Mario Mendez a tiny bit of hope.
I concentrated on that first, and I got some leads and some people that were working in there.
But Mendez had no luck. He thinks it was because of his age.
They were trying not to hire anybody over 50 first when they first started hiring. And so it was getting harder to get in there. Even with the perfect resume, you know, that the unemployment people helped me make.
The truth is that when Tesla moved into NUMMI, they were still a really, really small startup. In 2012, they were only making 5 cars a week, and they didn't need that many workers. But they never released their hiring numbers.
The company has said informally it's been hundreds, but what exactly does that mean?
Harley Shaken is a UC Berkeley professor who studies labor and the global economy.
A lot of NUMMI workers who would have brought in valuable skills for whatever reason didn't wind up at Tesla.
Today, Tesla has thousands of employees. They still won't say exactly how many or how many used to work at NUMMI. Shaken says that's a shame.
This was one of the most well-known and successful automobile factories in the world. It pioneered labor management cooperation in important ways in the United States.
It was definitely revolutionary. But Tesla claims it's changing the future of auto manufacturing and driving as we know it.
We are at the Tesla factory in Fremont, California, where we currently manufacture Model S, our premium sedan.
Alexis Georgeson works in communications at Tesla. We zip around the factory on a golf cart, watching cars in every stage of assembly.
This is our aluminum coil yard. So Model S starts with a giant roll of aluminum. Each one of these rolls that you're looking at weighs about 20,000 pounds. And they come into the factory, we unroll the sheets.
At NUMMI, this is how cars would start out too, as giant rolls of metal.
The first step of the process is stamping.
When Tesla moved in, they did some redecorating. They put in skylights, painted the floors bright white, installed living plant walls. Some of the equipment in this factory came from NUMMI, and if you look closely, you can still see some remnants of the old line.
This is an old track from NUMMI, maybe even older.
Other machines are new to this space. Tesla bought a lot of high-tech robots, and they're all painted bright red, Tesla colors. Georgeson stops the golf cart to show me these robots that can do four different jobs at once.
In most body shops, robots do one task. Our robots perform multiple tasks. So these KUKA robots here, they move parts, they rivet, they weld, and they flow drill.
The robots look lifelike, and they remind me of dinosaurs. As a car rolls down the line, the robots cock their heads all at once and then dive in toward the car, quickly screwing in bolts, welding, and drilling. Then they pull back and wait for the next car. After watching these dinosaur robots, we jump back in the golf cart and speed along to one of the final stops.
Looking for Xavier right now.
For the whole first hour of the tour, I was waiting to be introduced to a worker. I remembered Sarah Rogers, the NUMMI tour guide, telling me about Bob, who puts on tires, Jim, who puts on doors.
And then Xavier actually lifts Model S right when it's come in from the paint shop and sets them down onto trim line. And, oh, there's Xavier.
But when we finally find Xavier, I see that he isn't a person. He's a robot, so strong he can lift 4,000-pound newly assembled cars high into the air.
They're the largest robots in the world. And so they all have names based on Marvel comic characters. So, like Wolverine, Iceman, Thunderbird, Cyclops.
And Xavier. Apparently, Elon Musk, Tesla's creator, is a huge X-Men fan. The truth is, besides meeting a few of Tesla's 200 robots, I didn't meet anyone else on the tour of the factory. But Georgeson says they're there, just doing different jobs. You can see evidence. Vending machines full of earplugs and safety goggles, and popcorn makers stationed around the factory floor. She says the workers are excited about Tesla.
Because they know that this product that they're making is really changing the world.
At the height of NUMMI's production, they were making more than 400,000 cars per year. Last year, Tesla built and distributed 33,000. But they're growing. This year, they hope to ramp up production to over 55,000, and they hope the entire electric car industry will grow with them. Even though Tesla's vertically integrated, meaning they make all their cup holders in-house instead of in outside factories, their growth has been good for the county.
It's very good. You know, our unemployment is down to 5%. It's lower than the state.
That's Patty Castro, the director of the Alameda County Workforce Investment Board.
This area produces 30% of the state's output in terms of manufacturing, so it's all good. It's the sad thing is, when I reflect on it, it's like, well, there's fewer people doing it. You have to keep that in perspective. They don't need as many people, so you always want to know, like, where are people going to work?
Economist Harley Shaken has similar thoughts.
I think that the automobile industry is an advanced industry. It's part of the 21st century, as Tesla has shown us.
But he says the NUMMI closure also shows that you can't always predict what's going to work. Conventional wisdom says U.S. auto plants closed because they couldn't adapt to the modern world. NUMMI did adapt, but ultimately it's still closed. Shaken says that points to a bigger structural issue.
Simply to close a plant like NUMMI, which was so successful for 25 years and was the symbol of what could be done, to close it for the narrowest of financial reasons, I think there's something that's not right about that.
At this point, no one is really keeping track of what happened to the NUMMI workers. There are just anecdotes about where people are. Sarah Rogers, the former NUMMI tour guide, still keeps in touch with a lot of them. She also keeps her own pieces of NUMMI in big boxes stacked in her garage. She saved every note anyone has ever written her, little artifacts from the factory.
This was hanging on the very last Corolla that came down the line, and somehow I have it.
One afternoon, we sift through one of those boxes and find a binder full of drawings and notes from school kids.
Okay, and I would like to come see NUMMI again. Oh, and I will buy one of the NUMMI cars when I grow up. Well, Jason, you're going to have to find a used car.
But she can still own a NUMMI car. She takes me outside to see her gold Toyota Tacoma.
I was going to order a car. I just couldn't wait. So I went out and I looked at a silver one and I looked at a gold one. And I decided to get a gold one. And of course, her name is Goldie.
Of course, she knows the car's exact birthday.
It was born. It left the company June 16th, 9:43 p.m. 2001.
NUMMI is closed, but Rogers takes a little bit of it with her every time she gets in the car. And she knows exactly who she has to thank.
Jamie Hummer and Jason Medeiros, Betty Jones, Oscar Lemus. Thank you.
For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.
Have a memory from the NUMMI factory? Share it with us at KALW.org or on Facebook. We're KALW. We're listener-supported public radio. Our team isn't building cars, but we are building great stories. And the people doing that include Audrey Dilling, Rachel Dornhelm, Chris Hambrick, Chris Hoff, Ted Muldoon, Colin Peden, Liz Mack, Marlo McKenzie, and Stephen Short. Today's show was edited by Casey Miner and engineered by Seth Samuel. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This band is called The View from Bernal Hill, so you can guess they're from San Francisco's Bernal Heights neighborhood. You can hear them live on Thursday when they play a free concert at Yerba Buena Gardens in San Francisco starting at 12:30. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.
Cross Currents on KALW 91.7. Somebody tell me, what do we believe in here?
Ultimately, I believe in humans.
Yes, but what else? What do we do at Cross Currents?
It follows a sort of a phonological progression.
Kind of.
You have all this technical equipment and you look like an astronaut, and so people are already looking at you weird.
Bingo. Tune in weekdays at 5 on KALW 91.7. We may look weird, but, well, that's why we're in radio.